Greetings, my friends. Welcome to the next episode of the Mint Mob Podcast. Jason here, joined by my buddy Alex across the pond, the newly married Alex across the pond. Over in Germany, we're going to jump into a few things today, specifically talking a little bit about what success might be looking like in our world and possibly yours. With that said, let's go ahead and welcome Alex. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, man. Yeah, good to be here. The newly married, it almost sounds like like my rank went up now. I'm a little more valuable to society. I'm married. Yeah,
that's true.
Had a great day. Absolutely. Yeah. Had a great day on Saturday. Of course, I have two weddings, which is because one is like the wedding where you officially register your wedding, you get officially married, and the other one is basically a celebration with a lot more people. So the second one is still coming up in 2 weeks. But as you said, I entered the table of married men, and feels good so far. Everyone tried to tell me, oh, it's so bad, don't do it. But it's not that bad, actually. Like, I can definitely tell people the first 2 days are pretty good, and yeah, of course, glad to be back. I missed spaces because of that occasion on Friday. I listened back to the episode. I think you had Miro on the mic. And yeah, love hearing you people. Still haven't listened back to the whole episode, but yeah, always feels a little sad to be sidelined and having to be in the audience instead of participating. But yeah, you did a great job. I'm loving to listen to it, and definitely going to finish the episode right after this recording. And yeah, we got a great announcement to make for today, which is another Mint announcement, which we are going to dive deeper in a couple minutes. But before that, yeah, married man, everything is great. Had a great week. Had a great weekend. How about yourself?
Things are good, man. Just busy, of course. You've seen some deliverables, quite a few deliverables flow out the world, or flow out from my desk into the world, I should say. We've got Memorial Day coming up. We just had Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the ladies out there doing their level best to prepare kids for the world. That is one of the most important jobs that anyone could possibly do. And we've got Memorial Day coming up. So we have Mother's Day and Memorial Day happening at the same time here in the U.S. Memorial Day commemorates lost lives in war, all the soldiers, and we'll be doing our annual Memorial Day Murph workout here in the community center. So I've got to organize that, of course, lots of promo going on with that, poster design, graphics, talking to people, all the usual stuff that goes on with putting an event. So that's going on in my world, in addition to reaching out to some actually really high-level real-world comic artists. And I'm excited to tell you guys a little bit about that once we get a little bit further down that road. But obviously pumped out some pretty cool apps where you guys can actually start doing some minting of your own, creating your own collections, even swapping pieces between collections, building graphical views of what you own, siftable, sortable, that sort of thing. So it's a lot going on for me personally. And then, of course, now we've got the Mint coming up, and we're going to be doing some bonus mints along the way for all the loyal members of La Familia. So looking forward to all of that.
Absolutely. And before diving deeper into all that, of course, you mentioned all the stuff going on in our real lives. The NFT world does not stand still. And I saw a post you made a couple of days ago. I think it was yesterday. You said, if all you deliver is new mints, your days are numbered. Who are you offending with that? I think you're actually offending a lot of projects, but what do you want to say?
Well, I mean, if the shoe fits, lace that bitch up and wear it is all I can say. Like, at the end of the day, if all you're delivering is new mints, your days are numbered, simply means that you're not providing value. So, you know, if your purpose in this marketplace is to whip people into a frenzy and send them to a mint page, take their money, and you haven't actually delivered anything, then you're basically just a thief, in my opinion. This is what happened in the 2021-22 sort of run up and fall back, I guess you would say, or pull back, I guess you would say. And, you know, we're seeing a little bit more of that happening now, that we've got a little bit more interest in the marketplace. And, you know, when the last thing that I want to see taking place is to have quality collectors, people who trust implicitly what people are saying, spending their hard-earned cash or tokens on NFTs because they think they're going to get something in the future that's never actually going to be delivered. This has happened 1,000 times over, and it's one of the reasons that the market is so frowned upon in the real world, and one of the reasons that we have a negative reputation to overcome when we deal with real people in the real world who actually have consequences and face consequences for either taking your money and not delivering or taking your money and delivering. So that's really what that means, and what it comes down to is just simply, you know, I've said this a million times to the people in my real world, you know, if you're in my circle, you're in my circle of protection. And if, you know, you're part of the Goodfellas family or any of the families that we touch or any of the collections that we're part of or any of the people that we support, and I see you, you know, going into these mints where nothing has been delivered but promises, then my heart goes out to that person and I want to protect that person. And I'm seeing this more and more and more now that there's been a little bit more energy come back into the marketplace. So that's where my personal sort of feelings lie, you know, call it the masculine energy in me, whatever you want to say. But I have this tremendous sense of, you know, just really wanting to make sure people are smart about what they're doing and that they're protected. And I see that as part of my role in this marketplace.
Okay, so are you, when you made that post, were you referring to projects who basically jump from mint to mint? I mean, there are obviously a lot of art-related projects out there, right, who deliver new pieces on a regular basis, maybe weekly, maybe one per month. Do you think that's not enough in order to succeed?
Do I think... like a monthly or weekly mint is not enough to succeed? I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, I mean, if projects drop art on a regular basis, right, and they don't do anything else, anything beside that, because that's how I initially understood that tweet. I felt like, okay, I mean, if you start at the very beginning, right, like if you found a project and you try to define for yourself what's success, right, like what does success mean to me and my project, what do I want to achieve, and if you just want to drop art and, you know, put it out on a regular base and have mints over and over and over again and they always succeed and sell out, do you think that is the only purpose a project can have?
No, of course not. I think that I think you're asking about if basically, like, if a project just mints art and people buy that, is that what I'm referring to? And if that's the question, no,
yeah,
that's not what I'm referring to. So, like, if you're an artist, your job is to provide art to your marketplace, to your people, to your community, mm-hmm. to your buyers, to your collectors, whatever you want to call them. That's your role. And that's what's expected of you. What I'm referring to is the old meta where, you know, people would make promise you the sun, moon, and stars, and then take 5 or 6 accounts, pool together resources, and whip people into a frenzy and send them to a mint page and mint out thousands of pieces. That's what I'm talking about. And these types of projects, when that is what's happening and there's been nothing delivered, that's the problem. If you're an artist and you're delivering mint after mint after mint, that is your job. That's what you're supposed to do. If you're a project and you're taking money and sending people to a mint and basically using the artwork as a form of pretty stock, then that's a different model altogether. Like, what you're basically saying is we're an IPO. And what we're doing is we're selling shares in this thing that we want to build, and we want to sell you these shares, and we're going to take the funds and do something with them. Okay, so it's like, now that you have the funds, what are you going to do with it, right? And we've seen this time and time and time again where people raise some amount of funds, whatever the amount of money was, and then nothing ever happens. Nothing ever comes of it. Or either it's spent on quote unquote developers, or it gets used up in costs and nothing ever gets delivered back to their initial buyers, right? So if you're pitching yourself as we're going to deliver something and you're selling, you know, basically stock in what it is that you're creating in your project, then that's what I'm referring to. This has nothing to do with like regular deliveries of artwork or regular deliveries of artists, because the value proposition that an artist brings is their work. And they're not promising you the sun, moon, and stars. They're just promising you that they're going to deliver something beautiful and that you're going to have a chance to own it. That's very different from saying, you know, mint this, and in the future, we're going to give you back some sort of product or service that's going to basically double, triple, or quintuple your NFT. Two very different conversations completely, right? So it's the old meta versus the new meta. And with some re-interest in the, with interest coming back into the marketplace to some degree, at least there's been some, you know, there's been some light, some cracks, you know, in the downturn of NFTs, and you've seen some money being thrown around. And what I've seen, as soon as any of that starts to happen, is we've started to see more of the degeneracy come back into the marketplace. And this is everything that killed NFTs the first time around. So if all you're doing is you're taking people's money and you're not actually providing value, I don't give two shits about your art, because if you sold your artwork as an investment, which is what most of these types of projects do, then your role is not to deliver the art, but to deliver the promises that you made, whether it's a product or service that's going to provide value back to the end user. In an artist-collector scenario, that is completely different. The value that the collector receives is the ownership of the art. But when you go beyond that and you say owning this piece of stock, you know, in the form of an NFT is going to provide some sort of financial gain or return, but yet nothing is ever delivered, that is an improper use of language. It's disingenuous, and it's genuinely a absolute take in the marketplace, and it's what killed us the first time around.
And I think all these things are coming back, to be honest. Like, this cycle is going to repeat as well, I think. I think we will have at some point a season where NFTs get... Like, I feel like they are... Like, the first impressions are already there. You know, it feels like NFTs are back on the map. You hear people speak about the Bored Apes. You hear about floor prices that went up again. And at some point, there will be more and more people move into NFTs again. And that cycle we had, maybe not on the same scale, but that cycle will repeat, and we will have those kind of projects again that try to, you know, sell their projects as an investment and mint, you know, collections of multiple thousands of pieces. And people are going to jump on that again, and we will have a similar situation as in 2021. So I totally agree with what you said, right? But one thing I wanted to quote here is a post, and I kind of hate myself because I'm not finding it right now. But you mentioned the artist, right? And the way the artists work and what they are supposed to deliver. And there was a great post I saw a couple of days ago from an artist who was kind of complaining about the situation in the marketplaces right now. She was like, I have been consistently creating pieces for years now, and I feel like it's getting worse and worse. And, you know, the sales go down. And even though she, you know, drops at least a piece per month, it feels like it's getting harder and harder to sell those pieces. And, you know, she was kind of like, you know, people always tell you stay consistent and, you know, keep delivering, and things get better in the end. And she felt like that, you know, this is kind of like a big lie, maybe, because, you know, everyone tries to tell you about consistency and, you know, be repetitive, deliver, you know, do not stop and keep going. And at some point you will succeed. Is that a law that really exists, or is that, you know, just something people want to tell you and you have to believe it and you know, still just always keep trying forever, and at some point you will be successful?
Well, she's the reason that that law is true, if I'm being honest, because the truth is very few people can weather the storm and deal with the bullshit and the disappointment and all the anguish that comes with trying to do something great. You know, people have this idea that, you know, somehow you're going to enter into a marketplace with no name, no track record, no history of success, no connections to big names or status, and somehow you're going to just post consistently and win, right? And it's going to happen in 2 weeks. It's ridiculous. So if I am an artist right now, and I've seen this from a few who've posted these woe is me, poor me, you know, buy my stuff, you know, type posts, that is the absolute worst thing you can do, because basically if you want money, the last thing that you need to do is appear desperate. Nothing shuns money like desperation. So if you show up desperate and weak and pathetic, no one is going to give you any attention or the time of day. If you're asking for attention from like high-end collectors, or if you're asking for attention from people with money, they're going to avoid you like the plague, because that's not how it works. It's a value proposition, and your job isn't to beg. Your job is to get better. So yes, you want to be consistent. You want to be consistent over time. But the reason that you want to be consistent over time is because it puts you ahead of the rest in terms of how good you get. So if you show up every day and you're consistent, but you're consistently not improving, then you are consistently shooting yourself in the foot. So you don't want to do that. And then when you do that and you don't get the attention that you need, you develop this sort of mentality that you can't win, the next thing that you do is you quit. And what that does is everyone who doesn't quit gets a little bit further by default, right? So it's a game of attrition. If 100 people start at the starting line of a 100-mile marathon, of 100-mile, long foot race, ultra marathon, whatever you want to call it, and at mile 10, 50% are gone. At mile 20, 75% are gone. At mile 30, 80-85% are gone. By the time you get to the end, it's who can weather the most bullshit the longest is really what it comes down to. It's not like who's the fastest runner. It's who can deal with the mental strain and stress of their bodies breaking down, of the disappointment, of there not being a single person along the route cheering you on, right? That's the person who's going to ultimately win, because by the sheer nature of attrition, these people fall away, leaving a smaller and smaller group of people, right? So right now, if we look into the NFT world and we say, okay, well, NFT art started in 2016 or whatever it was, right? The number of people who started making NFT art in 2016, was a small number of people. It grew into a large number of people, and then it shrank back down to a small number of people, right? So really all you had to do was be early and stay there, and you would have actually surpassed all of the people who went through the bell curve of failure, right? By default, you would have won because so many people quit when it got tough. And that's the importance of consistency for two things. It weeds out, it separates you from the people who aren't committed, number one. And number two, you get better with every rep, and you train your brain. You train your brain that, you know what, I can deal with hard things, and I can do hard things, and I can sit through, and I can continue to work when other people just simply can't. And that's why consistency wins all battles.
Yeah, I just need to chime in here, because I feel like there is definitely a difference, right? Like, I mean, some goals are controllable, right? Like if you made that comparison with like fitness, for example, right? Like if you have that goal to be able to do 100 push-ups, right? There's not much you have to do. You just have to, being consistent at trying to reach that goal. And at some point you will be, you will surpass your old, your old limit, and you will get better and better and better. But when it comes to businesses, right, like I feel like there is that possibility that you keep repeating the wrong strategy consistently, and that can make you, stuck faster. And then there is that question whether, people can be consistent for years and still fail, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that I think the thing that people don't realize is, like, the failure is baked in. It's the guaranteed part of the process. You are guaranteed to fail.
Yeah.
And the people who are consistent, when I say, like, you put in the reps and you get better, what happens is you get better at failing. And you get better and better and better and better. And you start to realize, okay, this is like my goal. If I'm an artist, let's say my goal is to sell artwork, okay? Well, if all I do is I show up on X every day and I just post a piece of art with the same tired, you know, messaging, with the same tired, oh, so-and-so supported me today, the same tired messaging that every other artist is doing, unless my work is just absolutely stellar and literally just blows every other artist out of the water, I'm not going to get any traction. I need to do something different. I need to be more creative. I need to say it in a different way. And part of consistency is learning. Okay, well, I posted it this way for 30 days and this was my result. Now I'm going to try to post this different way for the next 30 days and see if that result is better. So you A/B test yourself every day and you're like, okay, well, this actually works better if I try it this way, right? You learn from that and you build on that. And if you're building anything in the world of commerce, you have to realize that the world of commerce is about trial and error. So the failure is guaranteed. It's the success that isn't. So when you go down this path, you can be as consistent as you want to be. But if you're consistently doing the exact same thing that created the exact same result, then you can't expect anything different. So this is why I posted, you know, in another post, I was like, you know, there's a lot of projects that keep posting still here, you know, still here. When you say things like that, what you're basically saying is we haven't done anything new, but we're still just hanging out, right? There's nothing exciting about that. We haven't done anything. We haven't created anything. We haven't learned anything. We're still here. And still here works for a small amount of time. Like in a downturn when people are quitting and failing, when you say still here, it matters, right? But when the market starts to consolidate around quality, quality players don't quit. They're always still here. So saying still here has zero meaning. It means nothing, right? So after we consolidate around quality and we're left with the upper echelon of projects and the upper echelon of committed people, the messaging has to be different. It's like, here's my value system, right? We weathered the storm. You know, we went through the whole still here phase, but now here's what we're doing. This is our value system. This is what we want to do. This is who we want to serve. And you want to start communicating that, right? And if you don't learn that lesson, then you don't get any new traction ever.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, if you look at artists, and I feel like in the end, when an artist feels like it's not selling enough, and it's it's just sales performance is not good enough. I mean, there are artists out there, right, selling a lot of art, and I mean, in the end, just look at what they do different, right? So I feel like sometimes it's even like, sometimes you see incredible artists out there and they never gain traction, while, you know, simpler art explodes. And obviously a lot is relying on marketing as well, as you mentioned, right? If an artist just puts out the same tweets over and over again and doesn't get any traction, then you should probably adapt and, you know, not stay consistent with the stuff you've done before. But yes, sometimes I also see projects who explode in the very beginning, and I feel like, you know, it's obviously easier to create consistency when you have early success, right? Because other people are like, it almost sounds like early success creates consistency, right? Instead of like consistency in general. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I see many projects, like it's not even only NFT related, right? Like you can look on so many different aspects in the World Wide Web, for example, on the real life. Like even if it's like, I don't know, if it's like a YouTube account, if it's an Instagram account, people post stuff all day long and they never, you know, get that traction, and they get like, at some point they get exhausted. So I think, you know, what do you think? At what point should someone quit instead of staying consistent?
It's a good question, but it actually depends on a lot of different things. So, I mean, ultimately, the thing you have to ask yourself is, you know, what do you want to create And if what you're going to create is what I'm going to create, going to serve other people, right? So the first thing you have to decide is, specifically in this market, but in any market really, am I providing a good or a service? Am I providing, you know, some sort of, you know, like you mentioned, the excitement around a specific project when it drops, like an early excitement type thing. Am I in it for the dopamine? What am I in it for, right? And so at the end of the day, like, you have to decide if what you're in it for is rewarding to you. And if it's rewarding to you, then you keep at it. And this is easier to do when your bills are paid, right? So everyone's first responsibility is to themselves and their family. You have to make sure your bills are paid. That's number one. And when you're coming through, you know, the school system, they don't teach you how to do that. They just prepare you for a job. You know, that's the way the school system is set up. They're not setting you up to prepare you for value provision, which is what the market demands of all people. So even though the school system doesn't basically teach you how to become an entrepreneur, they're training you to become an employee. And what is an employee selling? An employee sells his time in exchange for work performed. So even if you're an employee, you're in sales. And if you lose your job and you try to get another job, what you're really trying to do is sell the next employer on buying you. That's what you're doing. So all the whole of of all the world is sales. That's the fundamental nature of everything. And on top of that, when you realize you have to survive, you realize that there's a certain amount of stuff that you have to have coming in, whether it's money or resources, whatever the case may be. There's a base lifestyle that I want to live. I want to live in this type of house. I want to eat this type of food. Okay. And once those two things are taken care of, you're welcome to go off into the world and, you know, try your hand at whatever you want to do. So number one is you have to take care of yourself. But number two is, once those needs are met, you have to decide, how long of my life do I want to dedicate to living this lifestyle, right? Is the work that I'm doing so rewarding that I'm willing to live this lifestyle for the rest of my life? Or is it not so rewarding that I want to live this lifestyle for the rest of my life? So the practicality, you know, is a lot of times what people miss when they start thinking about, when should I quit? When should I not quit? You should quit the minute the lifestyle you want to live is endangered. That's when you should quit. If your lifestyle is not endangered, you shouldn't quit. You should keep moving forward, provided that it's fulfilling to you. But you have to understand that through all of this, you have to maintain your living situation and your body and your health, right? And once those things are maintained, what you do outside of that is an open book. So it's not really for me to say, because, like, I want to live, you know, I like to live in Anthem, Arizona, which is where I live, right? Houses here cost a certain amount of money. Food here costs a certain amount of money. So I can only do, you know, I can only do what I can do to the extent that all of my lifestyle is covered by other activities, right? And the moment that that's covered, I'm free to do all my other things. So that's how you got to look at it from a practical standpoint. From a consistency standpoint, like, when you're in the mix, it's results-based. You know, like, if you and I meet on Monday, which we normally do, and we say, okay, this week we want to mint on Friday, and we have a plan for how that mint's going to go, and we consistently execute that plan leading up to a mint, if we don't get the result that we wanted, then we have to shift gears and do something differently, right? So it's constantly about showing up, doing an activity on a consistent basis, and then measuring the result. Show up, do the activity, measure the result. Show up, do the activity, measure the result. And so you have this feedback loop. And what most people miss about the consistency piece is, it's not about performing the same action over and over and over and over again. It's about getting better at performing the same action over and over and over again, if that makes sense.
It perfectly does. I was just thinking about the thing you said before, when you were like, you need to do what you love, right? Like, think about what you love and try to embrace that and do that. But I was just like, I was wondering, isn't it actually the other way around? Isn't it like, try to love what you do like love what you like, because I feel like it's a matter of attitude, right? Like I even see people out there, for example, like my father-in-law, he's a tax advisor and he loves what he does. He was born like that, right? Like, which kid wants to be a tax advisor? So he went to the office for 30 years straight every day. He says he loved driving to the office. He earned good money. Obviously not an entrepreneur, but you know, he made a good lot of money. And even though he, you know, spent his whole life staying up early every day, 9 to 5 and all that stuff. And that's what led me, you know, thinking like about, is it only the attitude that you have? Because there are some people out there, you know, when you ask kids, students, or, you know, kids who just come from school, when you ask them like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do for a living? And they're like, I don't know, man. I can't think of anything I like to do every day, all day long, 9 to 5. And then I feel like, okay, like, not, like, is everyone, because everyone wants to be like, I don't know, famous or social media star or be like build a business. And it's always like not much work, but a lot of money, right? So I feel like how important is attitude when it comes to, you know, doing what you love or loving what you do?
Well, first of all, I never said you should do what you love. I said you should do what's fulfilling. And, you know, I think Chris Rock, Chris Rock, the comedian, has a great line where he says, you know, you should follow your dreams if your dreams are hiring, right? Like, understanding there's a practicality that you have to deal with in life. And I think so many people have been brought up in this world where there's, you know, just so much abundance. Like, literally there's abundance. Like, very few people in the developed world have to worry if they're going to have food tonight, whether or not they have shelter tonight. I mean, we're so rich here in the West that, I mean, we have people who choose to be homeless. Like, they literally choose to be homeless because they can live off other people's donations at the local stoplight. You know, I mean, this is the world where, like, even dogs have health spas, you know? So when people wake up in this world and they see, oh, you know, my friend owns a horse, and even the horse has regular massage appointments. You know, it's like there's so much abundance that people get accustomed to things just being easy. They get accustomed to cheap dopamine, you know, and they don't know how to work. They don't know how to stick in for any period of time. And this is why it's so easy to beat, like, these younger people coming up. They just quit so easy, right? They don't understand, like, a 5-year commitment or a 10-year commitment to a thing. And understanding that it's going to take maybe 7 mm-hmm. years, like, on average, 7 years to get a brand off the ground, right? On average. Like, most are going to take long, you know, some are going to take longer, some are going to take less, but most are going to take at least 7 years, right? And so when you frame it like this, when you look at it and you understand that, okay, there's a certain amount of suffering that goes into anything that I want, and I'm not here to necessarily follow my passion or my dreams, unless and until my lifestyle is taken care of, then you realize that the only way to maintain anything that you quote unquote love is to make it so that other people find it valuable as well. So the best artists have found a way to make their artwork valuable to other people. And at the upper echelon, it's genuinely about status more than it is about being great work. You know, people's, 5,000 days that sold for whatever it was, 69 million or 65 million, whatever it was, a few years ago. I mean, it's not that that particular piece of work was just like this astonishing thing that no one had ever considered or thought of before. There's been plenty of artists who've made a piece of work every single day and, like, created a portfolio, which is basically what he did and sold. But in that particular moment, with it being NFT frenzy, with it being at a major auction house, with the world awash in cash at the upper echelons, some millionaire or billionaire said, hey, I can have something my friends don't have, and the value to me is in owning this. And it's one of the first and the biggest auctions of its kind. So there was a separator there in terms of status, which created value for that person. So wherever you are in the world and whatever you want to do in the world, if you want to do it for a long period of time, other people have to find it valuable, or either you just have to be comfortable living with nothing and doing what you want to do every day, which is a very selfish existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true. Nailed down. But I mean, in the end, I think we can agree on the fact that consistency, I think every successful, whether it's an artist or just a business, is built on consistency, right? But consistency can never guarantee success. So yeah, like I said, you need to adapt, like you said, actually. You need to be able to adapt, and in the end, I think, what did you say, on average 7 years to build a brand? Is that correct?
7 years, yeah, roughly 7 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. Which does not necessarily mean if you build a brand for 10 years that it will, you know, succeed, right? But yeah, it's crazy. And I think people are seeking to build a brand, for example, and having success after like 5 months, right? Like, I put it out on TikTok. Why is it not successful yet? But yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, we've been doing the Goodfellas for how many years now? I think we started in 2023. We missed our 3-year anniversary, I think. And it's crazy, and it still feels like such a way to go, right?
Oh yeah, we haven't scratched the surface of what's possible for sure. And yeah, definitely a long way to go. And, you know, hopefully as we walk the path, you know, we show up, like consistently we're showing up, right? Like we'll do spaces or podcasts or daily posts or whatever the case may be. But the goal isn't just to do that. The goal is to get better and better at doing that. And so the consistency piece isn't about anything other than acquiring a skill set. And when you think about, like you mentioned, was it your father-in-law that did accounting, you know, tax law or whatever it was?
Yeah.
You know, like...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so when you think about someone who goes and works a corporate job, whether it's in the world of tax or the world of admin or whatever the case may be, a lot of times what they do is they perform repetitive tasks day in and day out. They do the same type of work every day, right? And they'll spend a lot of, you know, when I first went into the corporate world, you know, the guys who were there before me were very fond of saying, oh, you know, I've got 20 years experience doing this. And I'm sitting here looking at what they're doing. And I'm like, why did it take you 20 years to get good at it? Like, I could be good at this by the end of the week, you know? And I'm not being flippant when I say that. Like, they literally have performed the same task every day for 20 years, and they're still not very good at it. The truth is, people just take too long to get good at shit, right? So, like, if you want to be good at a thing, consistency is demanded. And if you want to excel at a thing, not only is consistency demanded, but you have to look at what you've done and try to improve upon it. And that's where the results tracking piece comes in, right? So we show up. I think when it comes to consistency, you might say the only thing that you can do regularly is show up, right? Like you're going to show up. Like I'm going to show up today, I'm going to make my post, right? But I'm going to show up tomorrow and I'm going to make a different post. I'm going to show up the next day and hopefully have an even better post. I'm going to show up the following day and hopefully my writing is continually getting better, or my imagery or my content or my videos or whatever it is I'm posting. The production value is getting better. The story is getting better. The whole idea is to get good at it. It's not just to be consistent.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And yeah, you created a couple of different apps, and just today I used one of those, Pinstripe. I minted the second piece into my gallery, created by none other than Annie XO, a really cool piece called Omerta. And that worked pretty well again. It's really cool. In the very beginning, I had some issues connecting my wallet. I'm not sure if you pushed updates, but that worked very smooth. And then I tried blogs, and I got a request on behalf of all the collectors out there. I'm not sure if it's technically easy to implement, but you will be able to tell me probably. So is there a possibility to paste in my gallery ID and display them? is because I was like, hey, can I see my gallery on here as well? I was trying it, but it didn't show. So maybe you can let me know if that's possible.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely possible. I haven't pushed an update for that, but if you look on the chooser, there's a place for URL. And you can actually just paste in the URL to any of the pieces from your gallery, and it'll load that piece up. Mm-hmm. So you can actually do it right now, but there's no specific option that will search.
I'm doing it right now. Let me see. So you said I need to paste in.
If you go to the custom side, this would be really boring for anyone listening, but basically Blocks is an app that allows you to create like a graphical representation of the pieces that you own, and you can basically order them any way you want. And there's a custom tab. So if Alex pulls up Blocks and he goes to the custom tab, let's say he chooses a 3x3 grid, meaning that, you know, he's going to have 9 total, you know, NFTs visible in the grid. There's an option at the top where it says URL, and you can actually paste any URL to any image online, and it will actually load that into the grid for you. So even if you don't have a specific collection available inside Blocks, you can post any image that you want.
Yep, and I can verify officially. I just did, and it works perfectly. So yeah, that's pretty cool. At some point, it would be great to be able to, you paste in your gallery idea and just get my little gallery in here. That would be cool. But I love the custom, the possibility to customize the grid. That's really cool because you can, choose pieces from particular artists. You can put all the work in progress videos in here and have a grid only for that. That's actually, or all the Artoba pieces, Seven Dawns pieces. And then customize all that and do a snapshot. That's pretty cool. Any updates you've planned that are not pushed out yet?
Well, I mean, I think with that particular app and all the apps, we're just going to continue to take feedback, and what people ask for, we'll keep adding in. You know, Mark, one of our high quality mm-hmm. collectors who has a really large collection, has made a lot of great suggestions. And basically everything that he's asked for, I've been able to implement. So at the end of the day, as the collectors continue to use it, we'll basically continue to update it based on their needs and what they want to see happen. And if we get to a point where those requests, are basically non-existent, like it's just gotten to the point where we can't improve upon it or add features to it, then I guess we could say we've arrived. But for now, there'll always be updates going out based on what people are asking for.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's really cool. So, if anyone has any request or any idea of how to improve those apps, definitely reach out. If you're a boss, of course. If you're not, you can still become one. Just reach out to us. And another thing coming this month. We've spoken about that. I'm not sure if we spoke about that on a podcast already or if it was on Spaces. But of course, we got some Sirens in the making. And we got a big Siren Syndicate drop coming up on May 31. May 31 is Blue Moon, which means, Sirens from their mythology. Coming from the oceans, the blue moon having some impact on the oceans. So we are building a little story around that. Looking forward to that drop. I think Daria has done an amazing job again. We've seen the pieces already. Of course, we are very fortunate to be able to see them firsthand. And yeah, I think this is probably going to be one of the best drops we've had so far. 200 pieces, two very, very beautiful one-of-ones. Jason, I bet you can't wait to put together those beautiful traits and create a great little batch, right?
Should be interesting. Yeah, for sure. There's a couple new traits in there that I'm pretty excited about. Some simple ones that, people haven't thought of before, which I thought was really kind of cool and creative. But yeah, the artwork is stellar, fantastic. Daria always kills it. And those upcoming batches are going to be fantastic. So you definitely don't want to miss out on those. And leading up to those, with the Blue Moon theme and the Sirens theme, we'll have all of the bonus mints that are outstanding. So work in progress videos and the diptych for the May the 4th piece that went out as well. So keep an eye out for those things. Of course, Alex and I will keep you abreast and keep you, you know, informed on when those are happening. But yeah, lots happening between now and the end of the month, especially given the fact that Alex's wedding is coming up, and then I have the Memorial Day Murph workout happening on the same weekend, that long weekend. So lots of things going on, but we'll definitely keep you guys informed, and we'll hit these targets like we always do for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. And yeah, you will definitely see a lot of posts around the Sirens, the Blue Moon coming up from us. Marketing starts now. You will probably, yeah, the podcast drops on Tuesday, so you will probably have seen the post in the Big News channel already. Looking forward to that. We will definitely try to get Daria on Spaces, speak about the Sirens a little more, and I would love to get some more behind the scenes footage from her, which is always really cool to see some work in progress videos. She did some amazing videos explaining the traits she created. I think she even reacted to some of the comments she got and created traits from comments people made, which is really cool. I think we got a serpent trait, we got some nipple stickers, and she created amazing outfits. She created really cool hand traits and hair. Like, I think the biggest step forward we made when we, you know, switched to her art style instead of the original one we had are the hair traits. They're so good. And she created additional ones, which are so good. I think you can even get a little sneak peek on her timeline. Obviously, she posted some videos about the work she created. So definitely check that out. And yeah, that being said, full focus on Sirens from now, mint in 20 days. Couldn't be more excited. And we do people like do we have a time frame for people when to expect the mints leading up to the Sirens? Do we want to go with Fridays maybe?
I think we're gonna just play that by ear, because we're gonna have several different ones. And most of them are going to be bonused mm-hmm. out to people who are already holders. So we'll play that by ear and make sure that those guys get taken care of first. Obviously, on all the bonuses, if you're holding those pieces, we want to make sure that you get those. But yeah, we'll play that by ear leading up, and it'll probably be that week leading up to the Mint of the Siren, so after Memorial Day. And so we'll probably prep all those the week prior, and then drop them like one by one by one leading up to that date, and just kind of build into that Sirens Mint, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to see all those pieces, to see the final batch, and of course, to stay in the loop, make sure to join our Mint Mob Spaces on Fridays, coming up in 4 days again, of course. Looking forward to that. As I said, we try to get Daria on a space before we have the Sirens drop. And that being said, hope you guys have an amazing week. And any final words from you, Mr. Archer, to the audience?
No, just keep an eyeball on what's happening. There's going to be a lot of new things coming down the pike, so to speak. And Alex and I will communicate all of that stuff to you guys. But, you know, in the world of Web3, where everything is sort of dark and opaque, we're not yet using a great communication tool, so we don't always get everything out. Obviously, we're going to touch on email lists in the future and other ways of communication. But make sure that you keep an eyeball on Discord and the X channel plugged in. Just a little bit of alpha for you guys who are listening. I am actively seeking real world comic artists to provide some upcoming work for us. And I'll tell you more about that on Spaces on Friday. But until then, that's it for me, man. And I hope you guys have a fantastic week, guys. Enjoy.
Bye-bye, everyone.